Good evening. This evening we have Dr. Christopher Scuderi, who is Associate Chair of Clinical Operations North, Clinical Associate Professor of Family Medicine, University of Florida College of Medicine, Jacksonville, Medical Director, University of Florida Health, Family Medicine and Pediatrics, New Berlin, and most recently, co-chair of the Patient Advocacy Committee, University of Florida Health, Jacksonville. So welcome, Dr. Scuderi. And this evening, I know that you're going to be speaking with us about the patient experience and patient satisfaction. So I think the first question that our listeners probably have is, what is the foundation of patient satisfaction?
Thanks, Debbie. The basis of patient satisfaction goes back to a couple of simple quotes I think most physicians are familiar with. You know, the first was one that I heard on the first day of medical school in LECOM in 1998, and it's a quote that's been attributed to many people. The one that I see most often is Teddy Roosevelt, and that's, patients do not care what you know until they know that you care. And I think that the basis of patient satisfaction and a great patient experience is the patient getting a sense that their physician cares for them. The second one is a quote from Dr. William Osler. It says, the good physician treats the disease, but the great physician treats the patient who has the disease. And I think this one is so important as we move to, you know, just the increased computerization of the practices and, you know, push to big data and population management. It's easy to, you know, to look at, you know, diseases, and it's easy to look at numbers and forget that there's a patient sitting across from you, that, you know, that Mrs. Smith who has cancer, and that's someone's mother or someone's wife, and that it's so important that we maintain that personal connection in family medicine, that the patients who sense that we truly care about them and we have a connection are going to, you know, feel satisfied with their care, that they're going to really, you know, even if there's small snafus, they'll overlook them because, you know, they have a sense that their physician has their best interests at heart. And more importantly than that, it's going to help the patients to stay engaged in their care and want to participate and you know, continue for them to be motivated to be healthier. So it's a very important part of family medicine today, and it's one that we need to look at closely.
I know it's really easy with EMRs to, you know, have the computer between yourself and the patient. So obviously patient satisfaction needs to be at the forefront. How do you objectively measure patient satisfaction both in small clinics and large organizations?
Sure. So there's a couple of methods, and I think, you know, I'll start with large organizations, and there's two companies nationally that, you know, have kind of, you know, pulled forward as the two leaders in this area. The largest being Press Ganey is its largest one nationally, and then there's Sullivan Llewellyn, which is a smaller company. Each one has advantages and disadvantages. Each one's able to provide benchmarking and different levels of data for their organizations, and so just depending on your organization's needs, you may want to look at one of those two companies, and, you know, each one has different bells and whistles that may fit your organization. If you are using these companies, you should have at least 30 patient surveys for it to be valid survey results, and that you shouldn't rush to judgment on a patient satisfaction scores based on a smaller number. And so it's important that if you do use one of these companies that you're getting multiple surveys for your providers. Another thing that's important with us is that we get our data both in comments and then in data sets. And so it's very easy to look at the comments each week. I get 130 pages each week of comments on our providers here in Jacksonville. And a lot of times you'll see some really great comments that patients are very happy with their care, but then you'll also see patients who are frustrated. And so these are easy to look at and easy to push in one direction on a provider, but it's important that you look at the whole picture and that you look at these comments, and if there's something in there that needs to be acted upon, that you act upon them. But you also take time to look at the data and really drill down into it. One of the things that we did down here that was helpful recently was we took one question, and it was, how are you satisfied with the overall care with your physician? And we ranked the providers in our department from 1 to 120, and we were able to see who the outliers were, both, you know, positively and negatively. And so it really helped us to see where the physician stood in patient satisfaction and gave us some good data points. And so I recommend that you look at both of these if you're getting information from one of these companies. If you're unable to do a survey system, if you're a smaller office and you can't afford to have a company to get this data for you, a simple thing that you can do is you can ask your team at the checkout to ask each patient, can you please rate your care today from a 1 to 5 stars? And if this, with 5 being the highest and 1 being the lowest, if the score is a 1 or a 2, what you should do is you should ask, you know, your checkout person to ask that patient, hi, we're very disappointed that you feel that way. Can you please come back and can we talk about this more? And so it gives you a great chance for service recovery right there with a patient who is frustrated, and it allows you to understand why is the patient frustrated and get good feedback on what you can do to improve the office. And so it's a simple tool, and it's one that can be done very effectively, and it's very cost efficient. So I recommend if it's a smaller clinic that's something that you should consider.
Okay, great. I think that's a great idea. What are other small things an office can do that make a big difference?
And there's a lot of small things, but the small things really become big things. And so as I read those 120 pages of comments each week, you know, there's two that really stand out to me week after week. You know, the biggest complaints that patients have usually are, number one, wait times. Patients hate to wait. And then if you want to compound a wait time, is have a patient wait for a long time and then have the physician spend a few minutes with them and then have it be a brief visit. Patients get very, very frustrated with that. The second one is poor communication after the visit. So patients get very frustrated if they call the office multiple times, they don't get an answer. If they have trouble getting the results of the test that they had, if they have trouble getting a referral. And so the communication is very key post-visit, and we have to make sure that we have systems in place that we can get back to our patients and in an effective manner. A couple of small things that make a difference during the day: your waiting room has to be very clean, and it has to be set up in an efficient manner. It's a patient's first impression. When they walk in, that's the first thing they're going to be thinking about. If the waiting room's chaotic, they're going to have a bad feeling the minute they walk in the door. Your front desk staff is very important too, and so it's very important that they're smiling, that they look at the patients, that they address them by their name. Just little things go a long way. So that first line, your waiting room and your check-in staff, is huge, just to set the tone for the whole appointment. When the patient comes back and they're waiting in the exam rooms, you know, one of the things that I try to do is I always try to let the next patient know, hey, you're next. It'll be about 10, 15 minutes. Can I get you a glass of water? Is the Wi-Fi working well? Is there a magazine we can get you? Is the room comfortable? That 1 minute just checking in with the patient, letting them know that they're next, makes a huge difference. You know, patients hate sitting there staring at the back of the door, you know, for an hour at a time. And so if you can, you know, just let the patient know where they are and keep them updated. And if your staff could do the same thing in the waiting room, just as long as patients are waiting, if they know that there's a valid reason and you know that you are valuing their time and you're aware that they're there and you're doing everything possible to get them back, they often will forgive you. But if a patient feels like they've been forgotten for a couple hours and then you rush them in, rush them out, patients get very frustrated with that. The other thing that's important is if you're currently using an email portal, we're seeing more and more practices use these, that all your physicians are using it. So if the patients are used to communicating that way, and if only certain physicians are using it and other ones aren't, the patients get very frustrated with the physicians who aren't. So it's important that if you're offering improved communication for your patient, that everyone's on board and everyone's using it and everyone's using it in a timely manner, and that your organization has expectations for what a reasonable turnaround time is.
Okay, great. That sounds good. How do you respond to a frustrated patient?
And this is a tough one. It's always challenging for a physician to deal with a frustrated patient. But I would encourage everyone out there to try to change their mind frame on this and try to learn from these patients. I mean, the best way to reach out to a patient who's frustrated is just listen to them. Just call them up and say, hey, I heard you had a bad experience today, or I heard things didn't go well, and I just want to understand what happened. And often just by listening for 5-10 minutes, it's amazing just how much trust you could build back with the patients. And often the patients feel much better and that they know that you care about them. Try to take the feedback from them as an opportunity to learn. You know, often, you know, patients have some good feedback, and there may be some blind spots that we miss in our office, or, you know, there may be some staff members in our office who need some improvement in their customer service skills. And so it's a good opportunity, you know, to listen to what's going on. You know, there are some patients who are just angry because they're angry, and, you know, and some of their complaints are not valid. But often patients who are frustrated, if you reach out to them, have some great valid points that can help improve your office. And if you look at this opportunity to reach out to the patient as an opportunity to build trust and as an opportunity to build that relationship, you know, there's often a great chance for you to capture that patient back and to make the office better. You know, I can think of a couple of patients when I first opened my office that, you know, I had tough visits with. And there's one in particular. I remember I was running behind that morning. I was an hour late for his new patient appointment. I walked in the room and he blew up at me and how his time was valuable, and he was 100% right. I was an hour late for his appointment. You know, I talked to him, and from that point forward, I've scheduled him at 7:45, the first visit in the morning, you know, for the past 8 years, and he's one of my favorite patients now. We have a great relationship, and he was correct. You know, I was running very late, and he had a reason to let me know so. And so it's important that, you know, we take reasonable patient feedback, and we try to use it as a tool to help the office to grow. The other thing I think it's important is if you're using one of these systems to obtain patient feedback, and if there's negative feedback, make sure your organization has a policy on reaching out to these patients. So if a patient says they want to be contacted because of a negative experience and your organization does not reach out to them, then you're now doubly lost to that patient, and they will leave the practice or leave the organization. And so it's very important that your organization develops some type of system to reach out to these patients who are very upset and make sure that there's a feedback loop to see if there's been any improvements made and if there's anything that the system can do better to help the patients.
Okay, great. So it's also about patient retention. What do you think about online reviews?
And so online reviews are tough, you know, and it's something that's becoming, you know, probably more and more important as every year goes by and patients are becoming more and more tech savvy. There's been a couple studies have been done over the past few years, and the data is mixed. There was a 2012 study from the University of Michigan that was in JAMA that showed that 59% of patients felt that online reviews were either somewhat or very important selecting a physician. But then in 2015, there was a Mayo study showing that only 28% of patients felt them to be important. I found another study while researching this podcast that was looked at millennials from OB Health News, and that showed that 54% of young millennials, age 18 to 24, search online for health information and rely on online physician ratings. And so what this tells us is that as this younger generation becomes more and more active and we're seeing them more often as patients, I think these online reviews are going to become more and more important, so we need to pay attention to them. There was an interesting study in the Journal of Internet Medical Research in 2016 that looked at cardiac surgeons who were practicing in 5 states, and they found no correlation between online ratings and risk-adjusted mortality rates. So we don't know if there's any correlation now between these online ratings and a physician's quality, but they are out there, and so they're something we need to pay attention to. And often they can be very frustrating for physicians because we're not aware of, you know, who's posting these ratings, and, you know, often they could be something that's out of our control. You know, I had one a couple years ago. I stopped taking new patients a few years ago, and there was a patient that was very frustrated that he couldn't get in to see me and left me a 0-star rating and rated my care 0 stars. And so, you know, I called the company that was the website to see if, you know, at least some of it could be removed, because obviously the patient didn't see me and they couldn't rate my care. You know, they said that it stands. If the patient puts it in, then you know, the rating stands. And so the key, I think, for physicians is to have a number of patients out there rating us and encouraging, you know, our patients to put ratings, positive ratings out there for us. So that way, if there is a negative, that can be, you know, it doesn't have as much of a dent in our ratings online. There's a number of rating sites that have become very popular. There's healthgrades.com, there's vitals.com, there's WebMD, Google Reviews, Yelp. And so, you know, we just have to monitor these and pay attention to them. One thing that I do is I ask patients who are moving. You know, often patients who are moving say, you know, I was very happy with the, you know, with the clinic, and, you know, do you know someone in this area that I'm moving to that you would recommend as a physician? And oftentimes I don't. So I say, you know, there's a couple good physician rating sites, you know, that you can look at, you know, just to see, you know, if you could find someone that fits your needs on these sites. And if you're on the sites and you don't mind leaving us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. And a number of our patients who have moved have done that for us, and it's been a big help to us with our online reviews. And so I think, you know, It's they're out there. I think, you know, it's tough because you can't please everybody, and, you know, it's sometimes very disheartening to see a negative review, but I think that the best protection against these negative reviews is to have as many positive reviews as you can out there. And so I just encourage you to think of innovative ways to encourage your patients to leave you positive reviews.
Okay, great. There's some great ideas there. How do you get your staff on board with improving the patient experience?
And this is huge. You know, there's been many studies that link employee engagement scores and patient satisfaction scores. And so the more employees are engaged in the mission of an office, the better your patient satisfaction is going to be. And so I think it's huge to take a team approach. And I think it's huge to teach your team, to teach your medical assistants, teach your front desk staff, teach your referral coordinators how important patient satisfaction is, how important customer service is. And I think this goes back to having a clear why in the office. Why do we do what we do? And making sure your staff understands what their why is. You know, if they have a clear why, it's going to guide them when they have to make tough phone calls. It's going to guide them when they have a frustrated patient. It's going to guide them when they're having a tough day. And so I think that it goes back to having a good foundation in the office, that the staff really understands what their mission is and what they're trying to do each day. You know, one of the things we try to do here at our office is we try to review our data and our feedback with our, you know, with our staff. And so we print out our feedback each week, and we leave it in a central area of the office for the staff to look at. And then we also review the data with them quarterly to show how are we doing and what areas can we improve in. I think that, you know, if you're using an organization to get data, it's important that you review it with the staff and let them know how can we improve this as an office. I think another thing that's important if you're in a larger organization is to provide training if your organization offers it. And, you know, many organizations offer great customer service classes, and sometimes just having a refresher that the little things matter, eye contact matters, you know, saying a patient's name matters, you know, putting patients before paperwork matters. You know, all those things go a long way. And so I think if you can help send your staff through a refresher class, that will make a big difference. So many times we'll hear patients come in and say, you know what, I really love that physician, but, you know, the office stunk and I had to leave. And it, you know, it breaks my heart because, you know that doctor in the area is a great doctor. And so it's we have to have both. You know, we have to have, you know, engaged physicians who believe in customer service and believe in patient satisfaction and realize that that's part of the healing for our patients. And then we also have to have our staff on board. You know, and like I mentioned before, clean waiting rooms are huge, avoiding the DMV experience, making sure that your staff is dressed appropriately, you know, making sure that the front desk is organized and neat, making sure if you have music playing in the office that's appropriate for all generations, and make sure that your staff members aren't chewing gum or your providers aren't chewing gum. Just little things go a long, long way. And so it's very important that, you know, we just constantly encourage our staff that the better we can make the experience for our patients, the better we treat them, the more comfortable they're going to be at the office, and the greater chance we can help them to heal and to be their best self. And I think, you know, right now, I think it's a challenge right now for, you know, physicians, you know, looking at, you know, patient satisfaction, is that we have to be aware that it's an important part of patient care right now, but we have to also be aware of quality. And so as we look to improve patient satisfaction, we have to make sure that we're still providing quality care, that we're not changing how we practice to impress our patients or raise our scores. It's a combination of everything. And so I think we, you know, as we try to improve our patient satisfaction, we have to do so while holding standards and, you know, while placing an emphasis on quality and evidence-based care. And so I think we have to marry all those components, you know, to provide great care, that this is just one component and that we shouldn't chase patient satisfaction so high that we lose the other parts, which are greatly important to patient care.
Okay, great. Do you feel like since EMRs have come on the scene that patient satisfaction is suffering?
You know, it has. We looked at, you know, some of the data. It was interesting. We had a survey in our system from 2009 on patient satisfaction and compared it to some of the data this year, and it has gone down a little bit. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why, you know, we thought is that the EHRs probably have caused this. It's, you know, it's difficult when you go in the room and there's so many clicks we have to get through, and it seems like so many tasks these days to maintain a meaningful relationship with the patient. So I think that there's an art to documenting and using the EHR while being connected to the patient and making sure that the patient's involved in the visit, and that we're not just staring at a computer screen for 15 minutes while the patient's just sitting there. And so, you know, we constantly have to look and improve those skills. You know, and as we move into the next couple of years, I think we're going to see more and more scribes being used and virtual scribes, and, you know, hopefully a push to, you know, less clicks for the physicians and to recapture how important that relationship is between the physician and patients.
It's definitely a balancing act. How can people that are listening to this podcast get in touch with you if they have more questions?
Sure. My email is christopher.scuderi@jax.ufl.edu. And please feel free to email me if you have any questions. You know, I think that I'd like to thank, I've had some help in preparing this from our patient advocacy committee. We have a patient experience officer, Katie Carpenter, who's been a great help in putting together this podcast. My co-chair, Dr. Alan Berga, Berger, and Rita James, who's our Vice President of Ambulatory Services, was very helpful in putting together this podcast. And so I think it's very important to have a team behind you, you know, that, you know, we have to have a team of administrators, office managers, and physicians all working together to improve the patient experience. I think it, you know, when you have that and everyone's in line and really believes that patient satisfaction is a big part of the, you know, as an office's and an organization's mission, it's going to improve.
Great. So thank you very much, Dr. Scuderi, for your time and for educating our listeners on the patient experience and patient satisfaction. Have a great evening.
Excellent. Thank you, Debbie.